Welcome to the Science Behind the Bible podcast, where we dive into the science behind the Bible to prove how science and the Bible go hand in hand. Today, I am going to be searching for scientific facts in the Bible. Yes, you heard it right. You can find scientific facts in the Bible, so let's get started. There's a lot of ways that you can do this. I actually like to just use the Blue Letter Bible app, and I like to just search for different topics related to science. So the first one we're going to do is marine biology, because that's like my favorite field of science ever. So let's get started by searching for marine science facts in the Bible. Okay, I'm going to start by typing C. And down here, it's hard to see, it's really small, but I'm going to look for some facts, and then I'm going to hit on one fact, and then we'll talk about it. Okay, so I found one in Psalms chapter 104, verse 25, and it says, "There is a sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small." Now, what does it say here? The sea is what? Vast and spacious. Scientists have said that the sea is so deep that they can't even go to the bottom of the ocean. I don't think that the whole ocean has been discovered. I think it's 70% that has been undiscovered by scientists, I think. It is crazy, but the Bible literally says that the sea is vast and spacious. How do they know that it was vast and spacious without ever have going to the bottom of the ocean, literally? Now, if we go here to the original text is a lot smaller. I'm very sorry about that. So it says the sea is great, right? Great literally means high, great, loud even. Wow. It even goes on to say here, high, long, and loud. Literally, the sea is pretty loud if you think about it. Broad. Okay, it says broad here. So broad literally means wide, roomy. Literally, the sea is very roomy. And then it goes on to say that it's teeming with creatures beyond number. There's so many creatures in the ocean. Just think about a school of fish, like a bunker school, for example. You know how many fish are in one single bunker school? It is so amazingly big, and it's beyond number, right? Because we can't count how many fish are in a bunker school right then and there. And then it says living things both large and small. They acknowledge that there's large things in the ocean and small things in the ocean. How do they know that there are whales and dolphins and sharks? But then while there's also small creatures like crabs, small fishes, literally, how do they know this? All right, let's continue with our search. Go back to sea and see what we can find. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again." Wow, ooh, there's a lot to talk about here. So the first, it says, all streams flow into the sea. Yes, some translations say all rivers flow into the sea. So yes, eventually all rivers will flow down into the ocean. And then it says, yet the sea is never full. This is crazy, right? Even the Bible acknowledges that the sea never becomes full, even though rivers and streams are flowing into the sea constantly. Then it says, to the place the streams come from, there they are returning again. This is also talking about an estuary, because it says all streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full, right? So the streams are flowing into the sea, and that mixing there is the brackish water, right? Where it is basically salt and fresh water mixed. So basically, it is talking about an estuary without even knowing what an estuary is. So crazy. While we're here, we're just going to go up above, because there is another scientific fact right before it, which is even crazier. So there's actually two here. So let's go to the first one here, and I'm just going to highlight it here. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. It's literally talking about the 24-hour cycle of a day. And this is what's crazy to me, is like, how do you not see a God when there literally is 24 hours a day? The sun rises and sets perfectly each time. The next fact says, the wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. I have a book, and I'm actually going to read a quote from one of my books. So I'm going to read a quote from my book, The Scientific Bible. The Bible also mentions certain types of wind patterns. In Ecclesiastes, it states that, the same verse that we just read, "And then I say, these type of wind patterns being discussed here are known as diurnal patterns, as they tend to repeat on a daily basis. The wind pattern mentioned here is also considered a south wind, as the wind being described is blowing from south to north. And that is the direction that south winds blow from." Isn't that crazy that it even talks about wind patterns? I think this is just so crazy. Okay, so let's switch up to another field of science, because we basically did marine science, and then we also did a little bit of atmospheric sciences. Let's go into medicine, because I think this is just so crazy. We're going to talk about something Paul told Timothy to do. Okay, so Paul says here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, he says this to Timothy. He says, "Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses." Now, you're probably thinking, okay, so he just asked him to drink a little wine. No, actually, you know, it's very interesting. This is very similar, and a lot of commentaries have different viewpoints on this, but really what I think it is saying is that Paul is literally telling Timothy that you don't always have to drink a lot of water for your stomach. He's literally saying, drink a little wine for your stomach and frequent illnesses. And actually, I drink this thing, and this is a very Italian thing. I come from an Italian family. And being half Italian, I actually have drinking this thing called Fenet Bianca. You can look it up. I can even put it on the screen. And basically, it is is like an aperitif thing, like after, basically, actually no, it's more of like a digestive at the end of your meal to help with your stomach. And this is something that we've always drank in after heavy, heavy meals. My Nona would always give this to us after you drink a heavy meal. So I really believe that back then, even though it's not specifically saying that's the drink, I do believe that certain wines probably were good for stomach aches and other little illnesses that they had. So I find this very interesting that Paul even notices and even gives him the advice to say, hey, drink a little wine. This is going to be good for your stomach. So he definitely believed in some medication, some natural medication, because they obviously didn't have CVS pharmacy. So he basically believed in giving him a little bit of medicine to help his stomach. We're going to go and talk about medicine again. Okay, so our next little scientific fact comes from a story from King Hezekiah of the Bible. Now, let's go up a little bit to give you guys some context. So basically, we'll just read a little bit here and just get a little context. So Hezekiah here, King Hezekiah, says, in the days Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death, the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. So then Hezekiah weeps bitterly. Now, basically, down here, the Lord says to him that he will heal him down here. And this is basically how God heals him. God heals him through medicine. So basically, down below here, it says in verse 21, Isaiah had said, prepare a poultice of figs and apply it to the boil and he will recover. Some translations even say a medicine. And then it says, Hezekiah asked, what will be the sign that I will go up to the temple of the Lord? And I think there's more to the next chapter. But basically here, what happens when he prepares a poultice of figs? He's going to recover. What is a poultice? Like we said, a medicine. And it was applied to his boil. So I actually did some Googling a while back, and I wanted to know, can figs have really good healing properties? And actually, figs have a lot of healing properties. Figs can heal acne and a lot of other skin problems. So this is very interesting that they knew to put a little bit of fig on there, and then it would heal his boil. So those are just some of the many scientific facts that can be found in the Bible. Literally, just type in any word you want related to science, you'll find tons of facts. I have multiple books where I talk about all the scientific facts found in the Bible, especially this one here, The Scientific Bible, How Science and the Bible Go Hand in Hand. I actually have a lot of scientific facts here. I break it down by all fields of science. So if you want to check out that book, it'll be linked in the description below. And I also written a couple other short books called Reading in Between the Biblical Lines, The Fundamentals of God, and The Science Behind the Bible, along with Scientifically Christian. So if you guys would like to go check out all these books again, they'll be linked in the description box below. If you found today's episode interesting, please feel free to share it with a friend. Have a blessed day.